Well, good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
It is good to see you out this morning. As the choir was singing there, if you don't know Latin, they were singing, "To God alone be the glory." Solo, alone. Deo, that's God's name. Gloria, be the glory. To God alone be the glory. So praise the Lord that you are here this morning. It's a special Sunday. This morning we have Carl and Emily and Evelyn and Tripp with us. And Carl is candidating this morning for the assistant of assistant pastor of connections and discipleship. And if you haven't had a chance to meet Carl, talk with him after the service this morning, we have a potluck. You are all invited to stay. Please stay, and you can talk to Carl and ask him whatever questions you have, and you can ask Emily questions, and they'd love to get to know you, first of all, and then to also hear your questions. So make sure that you make a point of, if you can't stay for dinner, at least say hi to them and get to know them a little bit. So with the potluck this week, everyone's invited to stay. Now, next Saturday, we have our church work day, and it's from 9 a.m. till noon. Some of you are going, wait a minute, next Saturday is Michigan State, and you can't mess with my football. We will be done before noon, okay? The more people that show up, the more we will get done. The fewer people that show up, well, we won't get as much done. So if you could come and help, even if it's from 9 to 11, we'd love to have you help. There's several things outside that we just need to clean up. There are things inside that we need to spruce up or fix. And the fixes are all, I can do them with a little bit of help. So that means you can do it. So if you can come out, some of you, God has gifted you not with the ability to teach, not with the ability to speak, but with the ability to work with your hands. And you are the people who God is calling to come and to work next Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon. The bulletin is full of announcements. One that I want to highlight, October is the month where we collect change in these bottles. We have these big baby bottles out in the Welcome Center. Put your change in there or your dollar bills, whatever you want to do there, or $20 bills or $100 bills. And all of that money will go to Alternatives of Kalamazoo, which is a pregnancy care center. And it's our way of being able to help them as they mentor ladies that are going through either a difficult pregnancy, an unexpected pregnancy, to help them keep the baby and then to know how to care for that child. And so it's a great ministry, and we get to be a part of that. Coming up in a couple weeks, on October 26th, Friday, is our trunk or treat. I want to encourage you to come out and open your car up and your trunk of your car and hand out candy. We reach a lot of families in this area with the trunk or treat. And so I'd like to encourage you just to be part of that. And then on October 28th, this is not in the bulletin, but on October 28th is when we will vote on Carl and Emily. See, Carl, he's leaving on the 19th, this Friday, right? And he's going to Kenya, correct? And so he'll be gone. So he's not in a hurry to hear back from us on the vote. So we want to make sure that we give everybody a lot of time to pray about it. And then make sure that you come prepared to discuss and then to vote. So the vote on Carl and will be on October 28th following the morning service. Yes, and that's for members, right, to make that vote. Today is kind of like a job interview, right? Okay? And Carl's not candidating to be the preaching pastor. That's my job, okay? But he is... he needs to be well-versed in Scripture, and so I hope that today you get to see Carl's heart and you get to know him. There was a recruiter at a job interview who asked a candidate, "In this job, we need someone who is responsible." The job applicant replied, "I'm the one you want. In my last job, everything that went wrong, they always said I was responsible." Another job applicant asked, "What would you consider to be your main strengths and weaknesses?" "Well," he began, "my main weakness would definitely be my issue with reality. Sometimes I have a little trouble telling what's real and what's not." "Okay," said the interviewer. "And what are your strengths?" "I am Batman." That one was just for Kevin, so. And I just got one. I just have to tell this one. So, an applicant was filling out a job application. When he came to the question, "Have you ever been arrested?" he answered, "No." The next question, intended for people who had answered in the affirmative to the last one, was "Why?" The applicant answered, "I've never been caught." So,
that was for Paul.
That was for Paul, yeah. Well, this morning as we spend our time together, even though Carl's here, I appreciate Carl's heart. He's not here to impress you, to preach to you so that you'll vote for him, okay? He is here this morning to speak on behalf of God. And so I hope that you will listen, and as we worship this morning, participate. This is not a concert. Nothing that happens here is for you to be an observer. You are here today to be a participant. Participate in the worship. And as Carl preaches, participate in what God has for you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will move within us this morning and work among us and do something special. And so let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. You have ordained for all of us to be here together at this time, at this moment. And so, Lord, because of that, we take this day very seriously, knowing that you want to lift up the brokenhearted. You want to encourage those who have faced so many waves of discouragement through this week. You want to bring strength and energy to those who just need that little bit of encouragement today. And Lord, for those who are just so excited and on fire for you, today you want to stoke those fires so that we burn brightly as we leave this place. So Lord, to you, we lift up our hearts, we lift up our minds. We ask that you would use Carl in a special way as he preaches to us. And so, Lord, as we sing, we were singing music this morning that it focuses in on our Lord Jesus, who has a great name that is above every other name. And so, Lord, receive the glory that we send to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. Back to your seats. As you make your way back to your seats, that's a suggestion and a hint there. I do have one more announcement that I forgot. I know it. All right, as you head back to your seats, one more announcement I forgot. On the 20th, in the evening at 7:30 p.m., the youth group has an activity. And the youth group will be going to Harvest Moon Acres, going through a corn maze at night. And so if you're planning on going, please either tell me, or if you've already messaged that on Facebook, that's great. We've got you down already. We just need a rough number to let the place that we're going to know. And then if you can't meet us at 7:30 there and you need a ride, then you need to see Ray. And Ray is planning on transporting those. If we don't need the bus, he'll just do it with his vehicle, but he's planning on transporting those who need a ride from the church, which he will leave. He wants to meet you here at 6:45, okay? So if you need a ride, talk to Ray. If not, we'll meet you at Harvest Moon Acres. If you bring a visitor, you and your visitor go for free, teenagers. If you don't, it's $8, all right? So don't come alone.
All right, we're going to stand together. We're going to open up with Cornerstone.
righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. In His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Lost are saved, find their way at the sound of Your great name. All condemned feel no shame at the sound of Your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of Your great name. The enemy, he has to leave at the sound of Your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. Son of God and man, You are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise Your great name. Although we find their strength at the sound Your great name, hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless, they find their rest at the sound of your great name. The sick are healed and the dead are raised at the sound of your great name.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Father, we come before you this morning, Lord. We just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus and what it means to us and the freedom that we have in him. Father, I just pray for Carl this morning as he comes to bring the message. I just pray you pour your spirit out on him, Father. Just give him the words that you'd have him to say this morning, Lord. And just open our hearts to the message that you have for us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Will the ushers come forward, please?
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for letting us come here and worship you, and thank you for letting your son to die on the cross for our sins so that we can repay some of that money towards you. And please let Carl speak from his word and let it be an impact on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm probably one of the few people that can walk right underneath this microphone. So. That wasn't me, sorry. And it wasn't that I wasn't ready. Luke chapter 10. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." How many of you have busy lives? If there are any of you that do not have busy lives, I envy you. We spend so much time coming and going and running here and running there. I would like this song to be an encouragement to you, to us, to take some time, even if it's a few minutes, only a few minutes a day, to sit at Christ's feet, to sit before him in worship, even if it's only 3 minutes or 5 minutes. What a blessing that will be. Alarm clock screaming, bare feet hit the floor. It's off to the races, everybody out the door. I'm feeling like I'm falling behind. It's a crazy life, isn't it? 90 miles an hour, going fast as I can. Trying to push a little harder, trying to get the upper hand. So much to do in so little time. It's a crazy life. Ready, set, go for another wild day. When the stress is on the rise, in my heart I feel you say, "Hey, just breathe, come and rest at my feet and be, just be, chaos calls." When all you really need is to just breathe. Third cup of Joe just to get me through the day. Wanna make the most of time, but I feel it slip away. I wonder if there's something more to this crazy life. I'm busy, 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 and it's no surprise to see that I never find time for you and me. There's gotta be something more to this crazy life. We know there is. I'm hanging on tight to another wild day. When it starts to fall apart in my heart, I hear you say, just breathe, just breathe. Come and rest at my feet and be, just be. Chaos calls when all you really need is to take it in, fill your lungs, the peace of God that overcomes. Just breathe. Let your weary spirit rest. Lay down what's good and find what's best. Just breathe. Just breathe. Just breathe. Come and rest at my feet and be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to just breathe. Just breathe. Be still and know that I'm God, he said.
Gerard, thank you for that reminder. That's good. That's very good. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And I'm going to invite Carl to come on up here and share God's word. Let's give Carl a warm 12th Street Baptist welcome.
Are we going to be using this?
Nope.
Okay. Okay. Hello, everyone. It's been a long time coming to this moment. Hi, Adam. Is that your wife? Hello, how are you? I like your husband, he's cool. He was welcoming to me. I came before the search committee, and everybody was welcoming. And you know, your search committee, what's up, Brian, is, and your deacons were an awesome sample size and a representation of the community as a whole. I trust that. I've gotten a chance to meet people, and people have asked me challenging questions, both doctrinally and personally. Oh. Is it Jorge? Yes, man, what's up? Yes. I met some of your family members. I can't remember who they are. We're going to talk after this, okay? Anyways. I'm getting connected with some of you already, and it's a blessing. And what I want you guys to understand is that I'm not here to, like Pastor said, to be impressive or to wow you. I want to preach to you today like I'm not going to come back, okay? I want you all, especially after this awesome, was it Galilee? Or yeah, right, and that I was there for that. That was really cool, right? And I imagine that was really challenging for a lot of you, and some of you guys have already marked, like, I wonder if the Lord was getting us ready. You know what I mean? Was he preparing our hearts for a brother to come in and to help lead the flock? Okay, right. We got to talk about it. My name is Carl. I'm black. Yes, yes. Look, I only see was three. It's three black people in this congregation. Is that right? Is there somebody I'm missing? right? So let's just all get it out the way. We all know. I don't know. I have to talk to you guys later. We will have to talk, right? We got to acknowledge these things because when we try to act like they don't exist, oh, yo, I'm colorblind. That's not true, right? We have, it's really interesting. We have these biases that we have. I've had to work through about and beyond race, all sorts of stuff. And in the body of Christ, the only way we overcome the manifestation and the horrors of sin and the chaos it's wreaked and the havoc that's been wrought in our lives is when we acknowledge it and we bring it before the Lord Jesus, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Okay? We just got to sing in about how he was slain, right? And how he's worthy of worship. And that's true. But Scripture tells us that the evidence of our worship and of our love for him, that's in our lives as we obey his commandments. And it's not possible to obey his commandments unless we're simply resting and abiding in him and letting him teach us, work in us, change us, and execute in obedience. So it starts with 2-3 minutes, and hopefully it grows into all day. You know, God's been teaching me about ceaseless prayer, about abiding, and I want to take you on that journey with me on some of the things he's taught me. And it seems to be happening to a lot of young men, specifically assistant pastors, who God has just keep bringing in my life. I'm going to be preaching a revival after I go to Kenya. I'm preaching there with a good friend of mine and mentor, Wayne Stapleton, over in Metro Detroit area at Renewal Church. We're going to Kenya, Naiharuru. Okay? I practice saying that. I didn't get that the first time, okay? Naiharuru, Kenya. All right? And we're going to be encouraging the Pan-African Christian Exchange. They have a school and they teach these kids life skills, a lot of them from the African diaspora. As conflict has been brewing in countries over years, they've been fleeing and people have been settling in other countries that are more stable. And in that time, people need education, don't they? People need to learn how to make a living. And so Pan-African Christian Exchange creates this opportunity, brings this opportunity as God enables them, and they also teach them about the one who's enabling them to be served. And they teach them about the Lord Jesus. And so people have come to know Christ, and they even have a Bible school there. It's very cool. And so we're going to go, and we're going to encourage the staff, and we're going to do some preaching there. And when we come back, there's a revival. And there's a brother who's a pastor in Chicago at a Middle Eastern church, and they have a second-generation church. So they have Arabic-speaking first generation, usually immigrants who have come over, and then those who have been born in the country. They usually have a separate church for them. That's very common with Middle Eastern churches. And they will he's the pastor of that, and he's the assistant pastor to the senior pastor. And the way they usually work is that they kind of have two separate services, one Arabic-speaking, one English-speaking. And so God's been bringing these guys in my life. And I talked to Daniel on the phone for the first time yesterday, and that's why I was late. Okay? And we encouraged each other, and it was awesome. And God's been teaching him about abiding. And what I've been realizing, as God's been teaching me over the past few years, is that when we did all this wheel spinning, wheel turning, when we tried to make things happen, when we tried to create opportunities to tell Jesus, you're welcome, right? I gave you enough. That's where all the problems really begin. Because it's no different. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And when we put our trust in Christ, we're done with that, trying to be good enough. Christ is our righteousness. We're done with trying to make life happen. Christ is our life. We're done trying to become wise. Christ is our wisdom. He's our power. He's our peace. Those are phrases that we use. Sometimes they lose power and influence and significance. And I just want to go through it again today. I'm not a talented preacher or speaker. I'm just passionate, okay? And so if you have questions, I hope you do, come and ask me, okay? And ask Pastor Stout. Pastor Thad has been shepherding you. I'm not your shepherd, right? I'm just a visitor coming in to feed you and to give to you as God has given to me, okay? And if the Lord allows for my wife and I to come and to join this team and for me to get some awesome discipleship myself, to be mentored, which I need very much, then now we can talk about the future, right? So let's just start with prayer together. Okay, Father. Don't let me be a hypocrite. Help me rest. Even now, I feel my flesh trying to make things happen, calculating, making assumptions. Thank you, Lord, for peace. Thank you that we don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. You gave me the words right here. You've given me wisdom. It's not mine, it's yours. Would you open up our hearts, mine included? So very often you convict me in the very messages that I preach to people. And I pray that you open up the hearts of the congregation today and that, oh, they'll weigh it carefully and they'll go home, not just go home and turn on the TV, but they'll go home and they'll go through the scriptures and see if what I said is true. And they'll challenge one another saying, you know what? What's going to change? Because we're not perfect and we're not complete yet, God, and we're under construction. We're grateful for the work you're doing in us as you construct us and conform us into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whom you were pleased to cause the fullness of yourself to dwell in. And Christ, the complete picture of our God is revealed, quite present. In your word, Lord, even though we can't see the Lord Jesus face to face yet, we will. Thank you for that. We can come to see him as we come to recognize him in the truth, as he is truth. God, would you change us and transform us and train us as we look into your word? Would you put a hunger in us for your word? Would you remove us as we stand in the way so often of what you're trying to do? Gently move us, but spank us and hit us with that rod if you got to. We need discipline, God. I've come to love your discipline, but Lord, I'm far from complete. Thank you for that, God. Lord, speak through me in a powerful way today. We're going to talk about talking to you, and so I pray that people are changed and convicted. That's what I want, God. Even if they are upset with me, could you help me not care about that if it's without warrant in Scripture? But that I wouldn't seek to be commended by men or approved by men, but that I would seek your approval, God. And the same for them, that they wouldn't seek to be impressed or impressive, but that they would seek to be changed by you. Thank you for the promise of the inheritance to come. And thank you for the life that we enjoy right now in Christ. And it's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Okay. So I want to get right to it, okay? My wife and I, we gave, there's a document that was sent out, I believe, that has some of my testimony in there. And there's a document that has my experience in there. And you'll know that I'm not a seminary student. And what I'm currently doing right now is pumping septic tanks, right? So let's just get that out the way right now, okay? No poop jokes, please. Okay? And also, I don't think it'll be appropriate if you need to have your septic tank cleaned, pumped, or fixed to bring that up here, okay? You have my number. You give me a call if you need something done. No, but in all seriousness, my wife and I, just a little bit about us, we've transitioned over to Valina Baptist Church, where Pastor Thomas Stout is leading, Dad's father. And I've been really blessed by his preaching, by his counsel, and then also by my friendship and sharpening sessions with the associate pastor there, Michael Shinneberry. And what God has taught my wife and I, as we have made some transitions, this is our third church together as a family, as we've gone from place to place, because I want to put it out there, right, is that what we found is that we go to a place, first church in Detroit, There's a lot of problems, a lot of strife. People were arguing, people were fighting, not physically close to it, right? And that was difficult, and there was a church split, and we were torn up by that. And God taught us in that, that when we got to Bear Lake Bible Camp, we started doing some healing, we started doing some trusting. That it was all because we were doing it in our own effort. Only time, I tell people, a lot of times, a lot of churches, only time the Holy Spirit comes up is in the, when he comes up in the text, right? And we understand there's some abuses with the doctrine about our Lord, the Holy Spirit. And there's some abuses about the gifts that he's given and the teaching about that. But unfortunately, we've been a part of communities where they've overcorrected and they've removed him. And we've experienced that when he's not present. You know, we've been at a church recently where there was great teaching, awesome relationships. But when it came to applying God's word, people were lacking. And I want to make sure people don't think that we're slandering anybody. But what I hope you understand is you're going to see a trend, because some of my mentors have challenged me. You know, you're making another transition. You went to Valenia Baptist Church. We just want to ask you, you know, are you running from something? You know, or why are you moving? And when we talk about it, it's legitimate. And what the problem is that my wife and I have this zeal for the Lord. We're not special. We're not going to come in here and change things or fix things. I hear you all are doing well. But what we want to do is come in and be used by the Lord to encourage you, to supercharge you, if you would, as God is working in us, and teach you and show you that he can do the exact same thing through you. That my gift in shepherding or in preaching or in not discipling, because that's all our responsibilities. And we want to talk about, if the Lord allows to be here, about why we've made this journey, and Lord willing, we'll arrive here with you. And that is because we love him and we need him. And we need to, when you love God and you need him, then you're going to love his people and you're going to need them to know him. And when people resist that, it's okay, but it's time for us to move on. So I want you guys to understand that if we seem a little pushy sometimes, if when we get together and you guys want to have some small talk, and that's okay, but please know that I have an agenda every time I'm talking to you. I have an agenda. I want to be your friend for a reason. And it's not so you can give me some money. It's not so you can give to me. My agenda is that you'll let me give to you. My agenda is that you would let me tell you and see and look into your life and all the dark parts, if you would allow me and trust me, and then be comfortable when I invite you into all the weird parts of my life as well. When you come over my house, when we start to see each other's mess, and rather than going, and both of us going, oh my gosh, that was weird, saying, wait a second, that is messed up. Whoa, let's not freak out. That shouldn't be there. You're right. I didn't see that there before. Oh, my goodness. That's a stronghold. Yeah, it is. Whoa. We know exactly what to do. Praise God for his word. And then let's reveal that. Let's bring it out into the light, all where it doesn't have any strength. That's what I'm talking about. Is I'm talking about community of love and accountability, where because I love you, I don't want you to be comfortable in darkness. I don't want you to be comfortable faking it, because that's tiring. But I want you to be comfortable with a real, authentic, raw, and at times uncomfortable, but yet rewarding relationship with God's community and with God himself. I don't want you to come in and get some messages and grow in your wisdom. I've come from churches where people had memorized whole books and encouraged you to do the same thing because they thought that led to eternal life, and Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for thinking that there was eternal life in the scriptures. Eternal life rests with him. And we know God through his word. As his word abides in us, and as we also abide in him. And so I want to talk today. Are we done at 12 p.m.? Oh, my gosh. Have I been going for like 20 minutes or something? Dude. I have a problem, guys. And I told myself I wouldn't even do this. We haven't even gotten into the message yet. Oh. So what time? We're supposed to be done at 12. But we'll be done at 12:15, so we're going to jump into God's word. Colossians 1, please. Somebody was like, praise God, he's not the preaching pastor. Oh, my goodness. He doesn't even have any jokes. Like, what's going on here? All right. Paul, an apostle, verse 1, Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy. This one here says in the King James, Timotheus, our brother. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be to you, unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And I'm just going to stop right there, okay? I had loads to go through, and a good friend of mine, Pastor Shinnerberry, told me this was going to happen. I didn't want to believe him, but I was going to get up here, and I was going to just look at your faces and want so much for you to know Christ intimately, to know the will of God, and to abide in him so that you could be fruitful, that you could live lives that would be pleasing in his sight. And so I'm grateful that the Lord allowed me to do that, because I can keep it simple. A lot of times we can say so much that people can walk away kind of going, what did we talk about? What I read all that, hopefully that you understand, we're seeing here that Paul greets the church of Colossae, and he greets them in a similar way that he does many churches, especially doing well, especially he's heard their faith. He hasn't seen them in the flesh yet, and he's talking about how he's heard about their faith. It's awesome, right? As he's preaching the gospel, he's hearing about the gospel spreading without him having been intimately involved in it apart from prayer. He hears of their faith, and he is excited. And he's grateful for this testimony of their genuine faith as they understand the gospel. And now what he desires is that they would know Christ more. You know, sometimes we have this confusion in the church, especially in America, where we get our ticket to heaven, we say thank you to Jesus, and then we do what we want. We don't care about power, let alone experience it. We don't care about God's holiness, let alone be partakers of it. And only thing we care about is this ambiguous place that we're confused about that we'll spend forever at, hoping that there's football and ice cream there as well. Right? If the Lord wills. Yeah, okay. Right, so, but we know that's not the gospel. Jesus says, John 17, that this is eternal life. To know you, the Father, and the one he has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. We were saved not to a place. We were saved from the wrath of God that was going to be poured out and will be poured out on sin and death forever, and those who have chosen to be partakers in that. We've been saved from that into a relationship with him, which is what we were made for. Not to a place. If Jesus is anywhere, even outside of heaven, I want to be where he's at. Now, obviously, we know he's going to be there, right? But where Jesus is, that is where heaven is. You understand? Jesus is our eternal life. my joy and my satisfaction rests in him. And so what I want to encourage you all, as we understand the gospel, as we've trusted on Christ for eternal life in him, we've been saved from death into life to live in him and to live unto God. And so as we live unto the Lord, live lives unto the Lord, no longer unto ourselves, but now we are denying ourselves, how do we do that? Well, Scripture tells us in Colossians 2, and I just want to read this here, and I don't want to just be one of those guys that jumps around Scripture. Hopefully we understand what's taking place here. We'll come back to it. But he says here, what verse is that? Verse 6 talks about, we're just going to read verse 6, okay? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You know, we're lost, we're in darkness, full of malice, hating others and being hated ourselves, and then the truth of this Redeemer has come to us. And we cry out to him, acknowledging who he is and forsaking everything else, counting it as loss, no matter if we were millionaires, billionaires, or just dirt broke. We're grateful to God because he's going to rescue us from the mess of sin. Not only the ultimate destination of where sin leads, eternal death, but also from the bondage of sin in our lives. That's how we should live every day. You know, someone challenged me with an awesome question. Where's the forgiveness? We're talking about all this good stuff, but where's the forgiveness? I need forgiveness every day. Praise God. That's wisdom. We do need forgiveness every day. And we go to the Lord. And we've been cleaned. We've been cleaned by him. We've been washed in the blood of the Lord. But we also go to him so that he can wash away those stains, right? I don't want to, so many things are coming to my mind, but do you remember Jesus' commandment that we would serve one another, right? When he explains to Peter, right? That he's washing their feet. He says, no, Lord, no, not me. Come on now. And he says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Oh, well, right? Wash everything. Another translation says, my hands and my head also. He says, listen, no. If someone's taking a bath, right? They're clean. Only thing gets dirty after that as they're going about the day are their feet. He says, you're clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Yeah, not all of you, right? We know about Judas, right? And what does he do? Explains to them that they have this responsibility of washing each other's feet. Yes, serving each other, but Scripture tells us from the Old Testament all the way to this greatest commandment that we would love one another. And it's not just to provide for these physical, temporal needs. It's to point each other to Christ. And if I would do that, the sin, the mess, the stains that come up throughout the day are washed away, not by me, but by the Lord as we encourage each other to stand before him and to be cleansed and renewed daily. We're not talking about losing our salvation. What we're talking about is going to God so that he, opening ourselves up to him, just like we did when we received him, so that he can lead us. You know, this idea of following Christ, there's just so many things in my mind. I wish I had all-day conference with you or something. But this is what I want to challenge you in the most, okay? This is what I'm going to use my last 15 minutes for. When we look back here at Paul and his desire for these people to know God more, right? Because he says, what does he say here? In verse 8, Colossians 1, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. This is reference to Epaphras' testimony. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding for this reason, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, can I tell you that we don't just get knowledge of God so that we can count heresies and defeat other people's ideas about Scripture? But we grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord so we can follow Him, so that we can learn how to commune with Him and to receive and to ask even. Don't we have lots of people that are out there praying, oh, Lord, we know, we claim in your name this new Mercedes-Benz because we want to make your gospel attractive. And if I'm passing out tracts in a Mercedes-Benz, people are going to get saved. But people aren't going to be coming to come meet Jesus. They're going to be coming to get keys to Mercedes-Benzes of their own, right? Or a bigger house. Or a better spouse. What we're coming to Jesus for. We want to know Him. We want to know His will so we can obey Him. Trusting that we come to Him, He'll give us what we need so that we can live a life that will be pleasing in His sight. That as He works in my heart, puts a new desire in me, and helps me obey, that He gets all the glory. You know, I remember when I was growing up, before I had children, I always kind of like cringe when people would look at these babies and crowd around these babies and go, oh, and everything the little kid does. They're like, oh, did you see that? Oh, good job. And I remember, I don't even know whose kid this is, and I probably shouldn't even say it, but a cute baby, adorable, right? Everybody thinks their babies are cute, but let's be honest, there are some really cute babies, right? And this was a really cute baby. And this baby's dribbling, you know, and then they're coming in here, you know, giving the little whatever maneuver. It's like there's a line, I swear, to feed this kid. And everybody's looking, and they come in, and mouth is closed, and they go, come on, come on, up. And everybody's like, oh! What? Now, when I had my children, I was like, yes, yes, right? Because they're just so happy. Why? Because that kid needs to eat. Because when that child eats, and they eat so good too, they're going to grow big and strong, and they're going to progress, and you're just dreaming about what they're going to be like. But when we are receiving from God, do we get credit? Wow, did you see the way that man learned Scripture, received from God, and obeyed God? Ooh, he must be some type of fella. The only thing we're rejoicing of is what God's going to do them. Oh, man, they need to go to Christ. Come on, trust Him. Yes, trust Him daily. Come on, yes. Oh, there was sin that was he was in bondage to or she was in bondage to, but now they've been broken free. Yes, praise God. Oh, yeah, come on, take that step. Keep eating. Receive from Him because we know, oh, man, if you keep eating, if you keep receiving, man, you're going to become some kind of vessel for the Lord. He's going to get the honor and the glory. Nobody, the baby doesn't get any credit for opening their mouth. We don't get any credit for receiving from God to do His will. But it's a blessing because we're blessed when we start to see healing taking place in our life. I'm like, man, it was hard and some of that stuff wasn't very good. But man, I'm starting to see the results. I'm starting to experience the healing and I'm starting to see it move out into other people. It's like I got superpowers or something. God's working in me. And He's working in that guy's life and that lady's life, and it's starting to look a whole lot like what He told me it would look like in His word. God is not a liar. He's a truth teller. He is truth. He determines it. What He says is good, and I trust Him. I believe Him. And the last time somebody doubted, it resulted in the destruction of the universe. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the healing. I want to trust God. So how do I do that, right? As we come to Him, as we have a few more minutes here, 12:07, ended at 12:15, forgive me. Okay? What's a step that we can take? There's so many areas, but I want to focus on one today. It's going to be prayer, okay? And there's a lot we could talk about prayer, but I want to look at Luke 11 because we see that Paul, in his love for these people and his desire for them to have what they need in Christ, he's doing what? Praying. He's praying. Luke 11, please. We see this all over the place where Paul makes reference in the epistles of praying for people and praying constantly, making mention of them in his prayers. usually comes with some encouragement about how he's excited about hearing of their faith or knowing of their faith and hearing of the evidence of their faith, even like, for instance, in 1 Thessalonians, where these people had not only been fully convicted by the word of God, but been transformed and moved into maturity and were making disciples and were preaching Christ in the surrounding communities. That's what we want. What we want is for you not to just go from people going, oh, yes, amen, that's the truth. Sounds good. Now we know it. And now I don't watch pornography anymore. Praise God. Or now I don't cheat on my wife or my husband. Or now I'm no longer an alcoholic. All right. Or now I'm no longer abusive. Or I'm no longer hateful. Or I'm no longer covetous. Or I'm no longer, right? Well, I've been freed from sin. Great. Got to stay clean. Don't sin. But there's a life to be lived. We've been released from that so that we can do the will of God. And it involves other people, not so we can sit at home and be like, whew, good thing I'm not a sinner. Right? But so now I can say, man, there's a lot of people out there who are in bondage. I want them to experience the freedom I'm experiencing. And in that mission, you find incredible purpose as you're being used by God. And there's amazing things that take place. But so he prays. He's praying for these churches that they would know God more and that they would know him as like he's expressed already, enduring the suffering, right? We want to be long-suffering like the Lord Jesus, right? As we're in this world, a lot of us are like, Jesus, come, please, but I want to be long-suffering like the Lord because there are people that need to be saved. The Lord just comes, snatches me up, right? And then he just, all the sooner he wraps up this whole picture and we all go be with him in his kingdom, which will be awesome, people are lost. You know, I'm glad that God is long-suffering towards the sin of mankind and is waiting so that people can come to know him in repentance. And I want to be a part of that process. So let's take a look here how we can be a blessing to one another, because it's the church in our bright shining, if you will. As God's life abounds in us, the world sees that, and God equates that to light shining in us. It's first expressed in the Lord Jesus in John 1 that where it describes the Lord Jesus as having been with God in the beginning, and he himself being God, and that he made everything. And it says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so we together are supposed to be shining corporately with this abounding life that is impossible apart from the work of God. And that's what's going to shine out to the people surrounding us, okay? So how do we increase that in one another? Well, we pray for each other, okay? Let's just look here, okay? Luke 11, it says, and it came to pass, verse 1, that as he was praying, this is Jesus, our Lord, in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. Just a real quick note here. If you look at this prayer and you go and look at Nehemiah, I encourage you to do that, Nehemiah 1, you're going to see some similarities in the model of his prayer, in the way he organizes it, and all the things that he hits, praising the Lord, remembering him, making requests to him. Just take a look at that. It's very cool. Jesus isn't just like making this up and establishing something that wasn't there. It's evidence of this being done, even in Psalms. So anyways, let's continue. But he goes on to explain this with a parable. He says, Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he said from within, he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity. I'm sorry, I read out of the New King James a lot. It says impudence there. But because of his rude persistence, right, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Okay, why am I bringing this passage up? I've got 2 minutes. I'm probably going to take three. You have this picture of the Lord Jesus himself praying. He's abiding in the Father. We know that Christ was led. It was prophesied in Isaiah that he would be the anointed one. The Messiah would be led by the Spirit of God. And that he would bring salvation even to Gentiles. And then we see when Jesus enters his earthly ministry that the Holy Spirit, not to argue that he wasn't Spirit-filled before that, but it's clear for us to see that the Holy Spirit descends on him and remains on him. And he goes into the wilderness for tempting, being filled with the Spirit, and comes out in the power of the Spirit. And so he's abiding with his Father. And the disciples come to him and they're like, okay, what's this about? Would you teach us to pray? And so the Lord lays out for them this model that is awesome and is necessary for us. And how we can go and praise the Lord, and how we can express to him our needs, and how we can just rest in him, trusting that he's going to provide for us and also keep us from the evil one, Satan, who would seek to destroy us. And so we also see provision for issues among one another even as our flesh is involved. But anyways, I think that's a great study for another time. But what I want to take a look at here is this description he gives. Would you notice that I don't think Jesus was careless with his words when he says that no one should worry about what they eat or drink or where they should live. I think it's good to ask God for physical needs. God, we don't have any food. Could you please help us? That hasn't really happened to me here in this country. And I know we have a hunger issue, but we don't have a starvation issue. So what does this look like then? If I'm not worried or concerned about God providing for my physical needs, I know he knows that, and I would still bring that to him. When Jesus says here, it's so interesting that we would ask God for our daily bread, in the context of the kingdom, I think it's really interesting that he would bring up this parable where there's someone who goes to their neighbor in the middle of the night. I mean, there's like this can't wait until morning. And the situation is so desperate that he's banging on his neighbor's door without any tact whatsoever. And he has this visitor. It's not like he's hungry. Man, I have the rumbling in my tummy. Like, no, right? He said, I got this visitor who's here who's in need. And he doesn't ask for a couple of pieces of bread or a slice or two. He says 3 loaves. He's specific. We need some food. We need a lot of food. And we need it now. It's urgent. This isn't for me. This is for somebody else in need. Man, this person's been traveling. It wasn't like they hopped in a Honda and went to go see their buddy. This was dangerous traveling times. And this person's made it, and I don't know what's happened to them, but they're in need. And this host of theirs is going to their neighbor and requesting on their behalf. And because of his impudence, his impertinence, is that what that word said? Because of his persistence, his friend will give to him. And man, how grateful is that person going to be? You know, how much more confidently should we go to our Heavenly Father? And as we're ministering and we know that he's provided for our needs because he's our friend, we look to our neighbors and please, I hope we're looking to our neighbors and seeing if they're in need. Do we say, God, would you please supply me with spiritual bread to address this spiritual desperate need. There are people in this community and maybe even in this church who are spiritually starved. As they try to go and lift whatever spiritual burden, complete whatever spiritual battle and conquer, they lose time and time again like someone who's weak and famished and poorly nourished. But if they would go to God and if we would join them in, on their behalf going to God, he will give to us. He'll supply through his Holy Spirit. And we will always have what we need to accomplish his will, which I pray we know. And we already know the basics, right? That there's a world that's going to be lost, that is in darkness. And people, as we speak in the thousands, are dying and are going to an eternity of death and separation from God. How can we be at all comfortable and go home and hang out and chill on our own with self-time and not at least throw up some prayers to the Lord on each other's behalf? And at least, if nothing else, if we're legitimately busy, someone else will be sent. And when was the last time you were sent? When was the last time you asked other brothers and sisters and told them, listen, I'm looking at God's word and I'm starting to see here, I don't know if I can do this. I need him to equip me to do this, and he will. You know, scripture tells us in Ephesians 1 that we have all spiritual blessings of heaven in Christ. Right now, we have that. You know, there's this church of Laodicea, which I wanted to look at, but we won't be able to, right? But because of their wealth and all sorts of other issues, they had just gotten comfy. Nice and lukewarm, and were not at all passionate about the Lord Jesus and his mission. But Christ tells us that for those who overcome in his strength and his power, he will allow for them to sit with him in his throne as he sits in the throne of the Father. Did you know we'll judge angels? Can you think of one thing that's been given to God apart from worship that will be withheld from us? Look at the scriptures. Think about the crazy statements that are made about what's waiting on us. That God is going to give us all things. I don't know about you guys, when I look at that, I can't just hang out. I'm not bashing TV. I'm not bashing relaxing with your family. But what I am bashing is just hanging out by yourself doing stuff that pleases the flesh and has nothing to do with God or his people. Is that what you were redeemed to? I want to fight the idol of comfort. And I want to exhort you and encourage you and run with you, fight with you this battle that desperately needs soldiers. This harvest that needs reapers. You know, there's this song, and I can't remember exactly how it goes or the tune or anything like that. I'll try. It says, in my Father's house, there is peace and contentment. Lots of food on the table where no one is turned away. The singing and laughter as the hours pass by. But a hush calms the singing as my father sadly sighs. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems that all my children want to be around my table, but no one wants to go work in my fields. You know, my good friend told me that's the guilt trip song. And it is. But it's true. It's so true that scripture declares that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, and that scripture will be true at all times. Isn't that crazy? It's not like, oh, well, it's not true anymore. Praise the Lord. That would be awesome, but God declares that that's going to be a problem that's going to plague us. Are you going to be a part of that problem? Are you going to humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, I don't even know if I have what I need to do your will. I don't even know I know your will. I don't know if I even know the needs of my neighbors. Their lawn is brown, and I'll complain to the city. But will I be as perceptive about real death in their lives. So I ran over. And now I know you, I'm not going to be able to come back. But in my last words to you, I would encourage you to encourage one another. I would encourage you to pray for one another. And I would pray. It would be cool to come back from Africa and to see people limping because their knees are sore from kneeling before the Lord. Anyways, as we can have the worship team come up, I just want to pray for you guys again. If you could pray for me as I'm going to Kenya, Nyahururu. And, you know, I'm going over there. I don't want to have an attitude of, it's okay, the Americans are here. We're going to really teach you what worship is about. We're going to show you how to do church, everybody. No, I want to go. I'm excited to learn. I'm really excited to see brothers and sisters outside of the American context. Man, it's going to be good. And we come back, we might even be more radical. It's going to be spirit-led, okay? So be praying for us. I have some illnesses. I'm gluten intolerant, and so I don't know how that's going to work out there. And so I'm planning right now really just kind of have a time of protein shakes and maybe try some of the local delicacies, right? But I don't want to risk getting sick out there. I get abdominal pain and weakness, and it gets pretty dangerous if I consume gluten. So just be praying that Satan is kept out of the way and that the Lord fills us with his spirit so that we can serve those people and so that we can be a blessing to them and give God the glory as we allow him to work in us. Father God, we just thank you so much for our time here together, Lord. Thank you for your help. Thank you for rescuing us in your love, and thank you for showing your love, not only in sending your son, but also allowing us to partake in his life, in your divine nature, God, in the inheritance to come. God, thank you for making us children. Lord, would you help us, give us a new desire, work in us, Lord, both to will and to do for your good pleasure. Would you help us to delight in you, so that you could give us the desires of our heart, Lord. We want to want what you want. We want to love others like you love us. So, Lord, help us to give our all and show us areas that we're not giving so that we can submit that to you. Help us to be gentle with one another in all lowliness and meekness, to exhort one another with the word that you've given, not becoming judgmental outside of the law that you've provided, Lord, but that we would encourage each other for the sake of life. And life abundantly to abide in you, that we might bear fruit that's glorifying to you. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, our King. Amen. Yeah.
If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to come up and tell me. I'd love to talk to you about that. Or if God's spoken to your heart, the altar's open for you. So let's stand together as we close with the song.
I dare not lift them up to the home. I ask you to just have a seat just for a second. The month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I think it's an opportunity right now to appreciate on and love on our pastor. So, Pastor, and I get to say the prayer for dinner today. Pastor, we love you. Would you stand up, please? Come up here. When you were in view of a call, standing up here, and you accepted the position to come for our pastor, you blessed this church. You brought many blessings with you and your family. You are bold in the gospel, the way God tells us to be. You'll present the gospel to anyone. Your love and heart is huge. And there's just so many awesome things about you. You are a humble man, but you serve a mighty God. Your family is great examples of the way that we want our kids to be raised up and our wives to be. Father, you have served the Father with your all and love. And we want to appreciate you at this time. So I got this goofy, you know, tie on. We would like to, at 12th Street Baptist Church, present you with a 5-course meal on a murder mystery dinner train over in Blissfield, and then be able to stay at a 5-star bed and breakfast overnight to spend time with your family, because I know, or with your wife, I know that with a big family, special time is special, you know, special arrangements. So we would like to present that with you, to you, because we love you and appreciate you. And I want to challenge the church. If you haven't had an opportunity to love on our pastor this month, this is your opportunity. You still have a couple weeks to do it.
But only this month.
Only this month. And I love this man, and he is my friend, and he holds me accountable to a higher scale, the one that God looks at. And that's what I appreciate about him. So, Pastor, I love you.
Love you.
There's your card. All right. Now, I would like to thank Brother Carl for coming and presenting the gospel to us and telling us about the Lord and what he put on your heart this week. Now, as good members as we can be, we would like him and his family to go through the line first. So make sure he gets his way back there. You can talk to him while he's eating, putting food in his mouth. But let him be the first to be in line to go up there. And if you'll bow your head and pray, we'll dismiss us, and the ladies are ready for the food. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what an awesome day, awesome music. Lord, your presence was here with us. And we have an awesome pastor. We have one in view of a call today. And Father, we just know that you're going to work things out. We just want your will to be done in this church, Lord. Just open our hearts, minds, and to just go the path that you have for us. And to be mindful today of what we've been challenged with, to pray for one another, to get down on our knees and to make a difference in someone else's life, to get to know people and challenge them, not that it's just the day-to-day questions, but how are you doing spiritually? How can I pray for you today? Father, would you bless the food and the fellowship that's to come? And Father, just allow an opportunity that if we can talk to somebody today about Christ, that would be awesome. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.